Welcome to our final session of this tradition workshop. My name is Greg. I'm an addict. And this workshop is going to be on traditions 10, 11, and 12. The guys that are going to help me are Carol and Jim, who some of you know. Carol is going to do the 10th tradition for us. Jim's going to do the 11th tradition, and I'll end up with the 12th tradition. Can we have a... will those of you who care to join me in the Serenity Prayer to start it out after a moment's silent meditation? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Can we have a volunteer to read who and what?
Well, I'm Gary. I'm an addict. Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking is centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We used to live and live to use. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovered addicts who meet regularly to help each other to stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership: the honest desire to stop using. There are no musts in NA, but we suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no leaders, no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, color, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you've done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting, because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We've learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you. Can we have a volunteer to read how it works?
Hi, everybody. I'm Maureen. I'm an addict. Oh. How it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are suggested only, but they are the principles that made our recovery possible. We admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed, and we became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it.
Those are three of the readings that are normally done at the beginning of our meetings. I'm going to have the traditions read, since this is a traditions workshop. And can we get a volunteer to do that?
Mike, I'm an addict.
I'm Mike.
We keep what we have only with vigilance, and just as freedom for the individuals comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Number six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, NA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you. I've done several of these tradition workshops various places, at conventions and special ones like this. This is the second one that I know of that's happened. One thing I always like to say when I'm getting into a workshop is this isn't our workshop. This is your workshop. You know, and your participation in the question and answer part of it and the follow-up discussion is real important. You know, if you do have a question about a tradition, ask it. There aren't any dumb questions in NA. The only dumb ones are the ones we don't ask that end up killing us. That's dumb. It isn't dumb to go up and say, I don't understand. And hopefully you guys can get involved in that because it's your workshop. I want to read the last paragraph of what precedes the explanation of the traditions in our book. And really, the last sentence will describe what we're doing here and how this sort of a setup works. Many of our problems are like those our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces which could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work. So take what you learned today and think about it and talk about it and try to understand it. I used to say, if you really want to learn about the traditions, write about them. I mean, without getting into trouble for having inadvertently, you know, created a problem that, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Write about them. Read about them. Talk about them. And think about them. You know, it's through our understanding that we could probably give a great gift to the fellowship. The more people who have an understanding of these traditions and apply that information, that knowledge, the safer we are. The better chance we have to fulfill our primary purpose. So right now I'm going to turn this over to Carol, who is going to talk about our 10th tradition.
Thank you. I'm an addict. My name's Carol.
Hi, Carol.
And I was real grateful to hear Greg make the statement that this is our workshop as a group and not our workshop as three people, because I don't have a whole long oratory to give on the 10th tradition. I sat up here and, you know, what do I know about it? I know that it says NA has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And, you know, for me, what that means is that Narcotics Anonymous has to do with Narcotics Anonymous. The only thing that I can share is not how therapy works, how it worked for somebody else, but my personal experience in recovery. We, as a fellowship, have to be careful, and I, as a member of NA, am aware of having to be careful of talking about outside things, like whether or not marijuana should be legalized. You know, and somebody always wants to know that. When I share with someone, you know, it seems like inevitably a question like that comes up. Well, what does Narcotics Anonymous think about this? You know, what does Narcotics Anonymous think about the abortion issue? What does Narcotics Anonymous think? And, you know, Narcotics Anonymous thinks that we have 12 steps and 12 traditions and we're interested in recovery from addiction. As long as we stick to that goal and stick to that principle, then, you know, that enhances our fifth tradition and our first tradition. It's hard to talk about one without talking about all of them. It's real important to me personally. The traditions are tremendously important to me because Narcotics Anonymous is the only thing that's ever worked for me, and I've tried several other things, and this is the only thing that has ever worked for me. It's the only thing that has ever given me freedom from myself. And when somebody tries to cloud the issue of recovery from addiction in one way or another, I have a tendency personally to get real defensive, you know, because I'm fearful. This works for me, and my life depends on Narcotics Anonymous being Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, if we as a fellowship don't gather together like this and ask questions and talk about what these mean, you know, then we have a hard time. I know I had a tremendously hard time keeping Narcotics Anonymous in the beginning because I didn't understand. That's all. Thank you.
Jim?
I'm whispering, Jim. I'm an addict. Hi, Jim. It's probably easier if I just whisper.
No, I'll talk. I never did anything easy anyway. I like to talk about the traditions separately. Everybody's who's been involved with them has always told me that they, you know, work one with another. But, you know, I like to talk about them, how they're different than each other. And the sixth tradition and the tenth tradition are different. In my perception, the sixth tradition deals with entities, and the tenth tradition deals with ideas, issues. I really don't have a whole lot to add to what Carol said. I think this tenth tradition, and I like to look at how I can enhance this principle or utilize this principle or adapt my life to the spiritual principle here. The tenth tradition, I think, gives us a sense of purity about our fellowship in terms of ideas. And I believe that even a lot of my personal experiences and perceptions about recovery from addiction are not necessarily valid to share with the public in terms of Narcotics Anonymous. The 10th tradition, 10th, 11th, and 12th, well, the 10th and 11th particularly, really relate to our public information efforts. And those meetings were open meetings where the public is involved, invited. I think, you know, this is valid experience. And when I share at the public level, or at a meeting, and talk about the issues that we deal with here, addiction and recovery, I try to limit my sharing to what I can use from my personal experience that illustrates this, and put it into the we. Allow me to be part of the we. I don't know really what more to say. There's an awful lot of controversy going on in the world. And if we were to, you know, if we were to involve ourselves in some issue that was even near and dear to us and become publicly embroiled or publicly labeled as supporting an issue, one issue or another, you know, we'd defeat ourselves. You know, we would not be that safe haven for the addict seeking recovery or for the suffering addict in recovery that we are. I think this is the 10th tradition is the purity for our fellowship, the purity of our focus that stays on recovery from addiction, and we don't involve ourselves. I'll give you an illustration. My wife and I were involved in something that recovery from addiction allowed us to be involved in, Narcotics Anonymous allowed us to be involved in. We could well state that this is part of our personal program, or an extension of it. It's called painless childbirth. My wife just had a baby 8 months ago, totally clean, without using any drugs in the hospital, through a process that she learned. And it's really a neat thing. It's a special, special thing. But were I to share that at any sort of public level as part of our personal experience, or were she to, you know, there'd always be someone that thought that didn't work, or went through it and experienced and it didn't work for them. You know, and it would really divert the focus. It'd take the focus off of what we really have to share, which is recovery from addiction. And we're capable of living today and doing things clean that we wouldn't have been capable of without Narcotics Anonymous. And that's all I have to share.
Thank you, Jim. My name's Greg. I'm an addict.
I agree.
And 10 is another one of those traditions, like Jim said, that it's hard to separate. You know, again, I think that's maybe one of the big messages of this weekend is you can't just look at one tradition, because they're all so interrelated. I mean, how can, you know, having no opinion on outside issues that ties in with, if we get off into some cause or something, what does that do to our primary purpose? And if we are into some cause, people who are going to come to us are going to be also people who are off into some cause, and that ties into our only requirement for membership. And of course, you know, if we align with some kind of movement going on in society, that's, you know, affiliation, isn't it? Endorsement. If somebody else has the same opinion and have an organization going, if we have it, you know, then we're endorsing it. So they're so intertwined. All our traditions affect and interrelate with each other. You know. What is the thing saying? What, you know, there's all kinds of terms in there. We should have no opinion on outside issues. You know, or NA ought never. What is it? How does it read precisely?
NA has no opinion on outside issues.
Okay, NA has no opinion on outside issues. What's an opinion of NA? Well, certainly, obviously, anything that comes out through our representative system to be a policy of Narcotics Anonymous and involved in that is an opinion of NA. But in our public relations effort, if I say something as an NA member, people will assume that I'm speaking for NA. Even though our traditions say I can't do that. And so I have to be very careful. An interview like what Carol was talking about, where they ask, you know, what is your stand on legalization of marijuana? I mean, if it were a different setting, Carol might be able to give her own opinion. But because she is acting as a spokesperson, she can't. All kinds of things tie into this. You know, what's an outside issue? That's another good question. I mean, what is an outside issue? What's our issue? Yeah. Our issue is recovery from the disease of addiction. It's 12 steps. It's the 12 traditions. It's one addict helping another. It's total abstinence. Those are our issues. Those are, you know, there are other ones too. Our issue is not to have any opinion on where you come from. Our issue is not to have any opinion on the medical profession as a group, treatment centers, whatever it happens to be. We don't have those kinds of orientations. You know, at best, we cooperate. And what's controversy? Do we have anybody here from New York? We've had people here from New York this weekend. I mean, what did public controversy do for our fellowship in New York for 30 years, 25 years? I mean, prevented it from existing. You know, what about the public controversy that existed in West Texas when the locals came with 30-06s and put bullets through the walls of the meeting hall while the meeting was in progress in the last 5 years? That's controversy. Yeah, that's public controversy. No kidding. You know, and that wasn't because we were endorsing an outside issue. That was, that was just plain old-fashioned. You know, the only good addict is a dead addict. Controversy. You and I don't think that way anymore. Maybe the only successful addict's a dead one. A successful dope fiend, but not the successful addict. But, we all tried. But, you know, this whole area ties in with, you know, if we've got an opinion on something, somebody else has got a contradicting opinion. You know, somebody somewhere is going to say, no, that's not true. And if we're off into things like legalization of marijuana and abortion and all this other stuff that we, as individuals, think about, you know, if we as a fellowship are off into that, we're going to have people lining against our fellowship because they have contradicting opinions. You know, and we may think we're safe for that. One example that came up yesterday that I'm going to repeat is in the middle 1800s, there was a fellowship about the same size Narcotics Anonymous is right now called the Washingtonian Society that got aligned with the abolition of slavery and the temperance movement that you never hear about. It died out, and you never hear about it. And they had 150,000 members like we do. Just about the same size we are today. For a violation. They didn't have traditions. But because they had opinions on two very political outside issues of their day. It could happen to us. Okay, it's your guy's turn. That's the mic. How has the 10th tradition affected you and your groups? How is having opinion on outside issues? Oh, another little thing. How about, there's another area of outside issues just popped into my head. What about the gossip question? I mean, that's certainly not at the public level, but there's a correlation there. That's bringing something outside, right, wrong, or otherwise. And a group standing up, and we just had an example of that in my home area. That may also tie into 11 and 12. But it can also tie in here. Morality was the basis of the attack of this public denunciation of members of NA. It's a real touchy area that covers more than what we first look at. You know, anybody got anything to share on it? It's your workshop. Got any questions about it?
Yeah, I'm Gary. I'm an addict.
Hi.
I understand how it's hard to talk about one without really seeing the other. For example, number two, it really protects us from our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. When someone says, well, what does Narcotics Anonymous think about such and such? And I begin to say, well, what I think is this. Then I'm putting myself as a leader and I'm governing. I'm saying that I represent Narcotics Anonymous and this is what we think. And I can't do that. You know, I can't do that because, like what was already brought up, for every opinion that I have, someone else has an equal opinion that's probably completely different. And also, number five and number ten are really, they go right hand in hand. Each group has but one primary purpose, and that primary purpose is to help each other to get clean, to learn how to live, not to learn how to be in politics. There's enough politicking as it is, but we don't need politics from the outside. You know, we don't need to say, yeah, we support Reagan, or yeah, we support whoever. You know, and also number. Number six, that we don't need to support anything other than the recovery of an addict seeking recovery. And number seven, we don't need to, whenever we have an opinion, there's going to be someone that's going to say, well, look, I'll donate, you know, $100,000 to your organization, you know, since y'all have this opinion. And we don't need to be bought. We really don't need to be bought or sold. And I think that this tradition really keeps us free to help and to love one another. And and I think that's what it's really all about, you know, to be able to give to each other without having to worry about, what politicians, you know, toes have I stepped on, you know. It enables us to be able to love one another within our own society. That's all I got.
Yeah, that kicks in another thought process. Basically, we're approaching the tradition from controversy out in society about our program. I mean, if they don't want us to exist, they aren't going to give us meeting places. They're going to have laws like they did in the state of New York that said, no, addicts can't get together and meet in open society. Or like the letter we had yesterday where it was illegal to offer help. In Germany. I mean, certainly that's public controversy. But what is controversy on outside issues? What's the controversy that happens in our groups? That's part of what was being touched on. I mean, if we even within our groups align ourselves with political candidates and this, that, and the other, what does it do to our groups? What does it say about unity? You know, we can only unite by limiting our focus. One of our points of unity is our primary purpose. In every NA group everywhere. Someone else.
I don't know if this is really a question or if I'm Mike and I'm an addict. Really, I just want to share this experience that I know we had in our area one time, and I think it pertains to this tradition. We had a meeting that started up at a hospital, and we met there probably about four or five times. And you know, one night the security guard from the hospital came up, and like, you know, as usual after the meeting, people would stand around and talk and you know, joke and play, and we'd get a little bit raucous, kind of loud, and you know, that's just the way it happens. And the security guard asked us to please leave, and he got a little hostile. Turns out that he was an off-duty police officer on the local police force, and he seemed to have a real resentment against the members of the fellowship just because they're addicts and he was a cop. But anyways, he kind of let this resentment known, and one of the members of the group really started giving him a hard time. And I said to the guy, you know, you shouldn't say anything, because anything that you say is going to be taken as representation of Narcotics Anonymous. And he said, well, no. And he went up to the guy and said, look, this is not coming from NA. This is coming from me as a person. And I said, you're full of shit. Because I don't care what you say to that guy. Anything that comes out of your mouth is going to be taken as NA and not you as a person. I don't know how you get around something like that. You know, I mean, what do you do? What do you do when somebody starts spouting off at the mouth like that, and you know they're being taken as NA, but they're saying, no, this is my personal opinion. I mean, I know I can't do it, but what about the guy who insists that he can?
Anybody got any feedback on that? I got a little bit. Most effective thing that I've found to do is an ounce of prevention. I mean, to a certain extent, and I don't know if this is strictly 10th tradition stuff, to a certain extent, you know, I have to respect our meeting places. And I have to, you know, behave myself in a way that speaks well of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I feel that that's my responsibility. That may not be, you don't may not have to do that, but I have to do that. I feel the need to do that because I got real tired of people saying, I'm sorry you can't meet here anymore. You leave the mess. I'm too much of a mess. Or, I'm sorry you can't meet here anymore because you stay too late and hang out in the parking lot. I'm sorry you can't meet here anymore because one of your newcomers brought one of the people at our treatment center dope. I don't like to hear that. You know, what does that speak about? How does that speak of Narcotics Anonymous? And maybe this, you know, I don't know quite what tradition this best goes on under, because they're so interrelated. One of the things that's, it was funny, I was talking with one of our trustee members who were here this weekend, and they were saying, well, we weren't quite sure what tradition to respond to this inquiry under, but the one we picked was so-and-so and approached it from that angle. I mean, I think that's pretty commonplace throughout us. There's so many events affect so many traditions. You know, I have a saying that some other people have a saying is that you teach your children well because you never know when your life might depend on them. We have a responsibility to educate our newcomers about how we conduct ourselves as Narcotics Anonymous, about these traditions. And that's our response. That's what this workshop's all about. I have a responsibility to tell the person coming to their first meetings, hey, you don't come here to get dates. You don't come here to hustle spare change. You don't come here to raise hell. You don't come here to make a mess because you're pissed at society and we're meeting in a public building. You don't come here to make a statement with a can of spray paint on the wall of the church. You come here for recovery. So my answer to your question is prevention. What do you do when someone goes ahead and spouts? Bill.
My name is Bill. I'm an addict.
I'm Bill.
On that issue, what do you do when somebody comes up in your face? We had a meeting start in Northern Virginia. The first meeting in Northern Virginia. And the treatment center, it was at a treatment center, and the treatment center tried to dictate and tell us how to run our meetings. And we said, fine, if you do that, it'll be an H&I meeting. We can handle it that way. But if it's an open meeting, they tried to ban certain people from the meeting. And this guy was a recovering addict who was running the facility. I don't know what his recovery was, but that's beside the point. And what Greg was saying about the pound of prevention, it says, I have tools for my personal recovery. And if I use those tools, I shouldn't be placed in that position. I shouldn't place myself in that position. My sponsor says, and I love it dearly, he cuts through the bullshit. He said, if you don't want to get fucked, don't put yourself in that position. If you don't want to get angry, and that's difficult. The easiest thing for me to do is point fingers and run and yell and scream. But I have something today. I have something that I protect, that I am responsible for. And that word sticks in my throat, responsibility. But that's the price of membership. That's the price of living today. The first tradition tells me that my personal recovery depends on NA unity. Our common welfare comes first. Without the NA unity, the meeting place dies, and that's it. I die. So, as a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I have cussed a guy out and walked out, but I learned through my mistakes. I don't do it as much. Just like the 12 steps in my personal recovery, the 12 traditions act the same way. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I see two hands, and I'm going to take two more, and then we're going to move on to 11. I don't know your name, and then Kermit.
My name's Ed, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, everybody.
When I read the 10th tradition, it brings me back to thinking about something I talked about in here yesterday, and I hate to keep harping on this, but it's something that's on my mind, and it's the NA logo. I'd been wearing NA t-shirts I'm starting to feel funny about this because this tradition says NA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And when I wear my t-shirts, every time I open my mouth, I'm risking, I think, drawing NA's name into public controversy because as an individual, I have all these opinions on issues like legalization of marijuana and abortion and this, that, and the other thing. And when I voice those opinions and I'm wearing the logo, I people naturally will tend to think that I represent Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't know. I just don't want this to happen. And this is just my individual conscience making me talk about this. But it's just something that's been on my mind, and I think this tradition is goes along with that. So I just felt like I had to get up here and share this. But I do feel like, when we wear that logo, that people think what comes out of our mouths is what Narcotics Anonymous thinks. And I know for me personally, that's not true. Thank you.
Thank you. Kermit.
It's Kermit, and I'm an addict. Clean today through the grace of God and Narcotics Anonymous. To address Mike's point about the gentleman who was mouthing off, I had some difficulties recently. Someone owed me money and I was real upset at them, and I just took the standpoint, well, I'm not gonna have anything to do with that person. The person was in recovery and needed help. And I talked to someone else and they said well, maybe they can afford to do that. Maybe they can afford to be resentful. Maybe they can afford, to do whatever they're doing. He said, but I can't. Maybe this other guy at the meeting can afford to speak ill of someone else, to hold resentments against police officers and society. I can't afford to do that. And the bottom line I come to is that, if someone is doing something that I don't like, I don't have to participate in it, And if that situation had arisen, one of the suggestions that I would give was everybody else leave. And then that one gentleman will be standing there by himself, and the police officer would have seen that Narcotics Anonymous got up and left. Now we got one guy standing here ranting and raving. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move on to the next tradition. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Jim.
I'm Jim. I'm an addict. And this is your workshop, and I'm going to ask you to participate in it right here and now. Let's get honest. We try to carry this message to addicts, but one primary purpose: to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. How many of you feel like I feel that's a reason, a purpose for your existence? How many of you want to save the world. Yeah. Yeah. Those are powerful, powerful words. You know, they inspire us. They give us a real feeling of self-worth. And for an addict, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's also a real dangerous thing. Real dangerous thing. Because we're crusaders, man. We are crusaders. I mean, we'll carry a cause right to the cross. Yeah. Yeah. My inventory. Well, specifically, how we can accomplish these things, this noble goal, these noble goals. You know, more than that, it tells us how it didn't work. How it didn't work. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. I have a question for you. In your own mind, you know, deep in your heart, how long would promotion work? Would it work? You know, I've been promoted into a lot of stuff. I'm a simple country boy. You know, I'm naive. I've been promoted into buying drugs that were cut pretty bad. I believe that if basically that NA group that carried the message to me would have promoted Narcotics Anonymous to me, offered me a lot of hype, offered me a lot of promises that they couldn't deliver, that I'd have felt real betrayed, and I would never stopped using. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And I got another question for you. Does your local community, see your local fellowship accurately? Does your local community see NA, Narcotics Anonymous, like it is? Why? And why not? I've thought for a long time, being one of those people that came around Narcotics Anonymous really without a local fellowship, I've been thinking for a long time about the image of NA in the community and what I could do to help that be accurate. I got involved in public information for Narcotics Anonymous, you know, at about, I don't know, 90 days clean. I had no direction whatsoever. I got a public information kit and it wasn't, you know, it didn't do anything for me until I got to the very, very back. And it gave me some suggestions about what I could do. And it was a little too rough for toilet paper. So I think that's something we really, really need to do as a fellowship, is get a public information handbook that gives the member direction first on the first page, the member. Because, you know what, folks? We tell each other that when we stand at podiums, when we participate in public information, we tell each other and we offer disclaimers to tell the people that are listening to us that we do not individually speak for Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and that has about as much validity as I had when I was in that mental institution and told them I didn't belong there. Yeah, I was right, I didn't belong there. But what they said was, yeah, uh-huh, right. And everybody else was saying the same thing. When we stand at that podium, you know, in fact, to the public, to the newcomer, we do represent Narcotics Anonymous, and that's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. To me, the 12 traditions, the 12 steps provide me with a way to live. And the 12 traditions provide me with a way to share how I live with others. As part of a group and individually as part of a group. We do represent NA when we involve ourselves in public information efforts, even though we can't. And I'll suggest something else to you that I learned. I can break my anonymity without saying my last name. Yeah. I can break my anonymity without saying my last name. My story is a little bit different than any other person's story. I participated in things that are a little bit different. And people saw me. I was public. You know? And I can break my anonymity by telling my very story, my own intimate personal experience. I can break my anonymity, you know, because there's parts of that story that they identify me. I need to consider that. After I first was involved in public information, it came to be my rule for myself that I do not break my anonymity in any way that I can possibly perceive unless I can guarantee that I'm not at the level of press, radio, and films. Guarantee. So that means to me the only time I don't break my anonymity in any way is when I'm in a closed meeting. That's the only time. But I can't live up to that. It's really, it's like a spiritual principle. It's impossible to actually live. I think this is going to become an ever more important, you know, tradition for us and our fellowship. And I think it kind of eases up that fever of wanting to save the world, wanting to carry this message wholesale. Gives us real guidance. And we can have a public information kit that talks to the member first. We can focus on these concepts and write down our experience, our errors, our successes, and talk about attraction. You know, when I was working in treatment before I got clean, listening to these principles, and I'll just close with sharing this, you know. And I read attraction rather than promotion. So I wanted to be real attractive to those new folks. I needed to lose some weight. Like to eat it late at night. So I used just a little Valium so I could sleep without getting something to eat. You know, attraction rather than promotion. We're real good at twisting around principles. I love you. That's all.
Carol.
I'm an addict. My name's Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
And we are real good at twisting principles. I had someone ask me, and I had the same questions when I was first looking at the traditions. I had someone ask me not too long ago, well, doesn't the 11th tradition mean that we can't do public information? And, you know, of course that's not what it says, but what it says is that we have to be real careful. And, you know, all of these things, I have to be careful of what I'm doing when I wear my NA t-shirts. I have to be aware of what I'm wearing when I go to speak about NA. You know, the literature says any addict clean is a miracle, and keeping the miracle alive is a continuing process of awareness, surrender, and growth. And, you know, what I want to twist these things to mean, I have to surrender, because that's not what they mean. And we grow through doing that. You know, Jim was talking about saving the world and looking at this. And the question on the 10th tradition was, what can we do? And Greg talked about prevention. And one of the things that we can do to save the world is bring other addicts, you know, one addict at a time, to things like this. And if we can't really afford to do that and come in the style that we want to come in, my recovery allows me to sleep on floors today. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. My pride wouldn't have allowed that in the past. And it would have been, if I can't bring a newcomer and, you know, put him in a bed and rent a hotel room, then we'll just all stay home. And today, one of the ways that we can do this prevention is we can make a contact in the city that the function is going on in, and make a phone call and find out whose floor we can all sleep on. And I believe that that's real important. Personal anonymity and not breaking that at the level of press, radio, and films in some way. You know, that's like Jim was saying, there are ways to violate anonymity without saying your last name. I don't know, I'd like to hear some more questions and more participation. That's all.
Okay. You can go here.
I'm an addict. I'm involved in PI in my area, and I have trouble requesting. I'm Chris. I'm an addict.
Hi, Chris.
I wanted to be anonymous, but I have trouble requesting funds for $28 for little cards with the hotline number to put up on bulletin boards in doctors' offices and hospitals and stuff like that, because our area has a big problem with this promotion thing. We have great ideas with flyers on buses, and you know, our committee does the dope fiend way of putting our stop stickers on the buses, since we don't have very much funds. Even with $1,000 in our area bank account, they won't give us $28 for these little cards. And I get a phone call from the mayor's office on drug abuse, and they want us to do a workshop. And I try to explain to the guy that we only share our experience, strength, and hope, and that we don't talk about what marijuana does to you, for instance. And it's real hard when all we can do is say, okay, we'll just have a booth with literature and NA members to talk about their experience, strength, and hope. And another question I have is, a certain area in our region voted to publish in a newspaper their meetings, their open meetings. And I know for myself as an addict, I would not want my employer to know that I'm going to this meeting in this church. And I'm just wondering about publishing meetings in like doctors' journals or in the newspaper and stuff like that, the open meetings. And how to explain to, when you have an area that's having growth problems and communication problems, the importance of PI work, and that it is attraction rather than promotion. The addict out there has to know that NA exists.
I want to do one thing we did a minute ago. How many people got to this program because of public information? You know, I heard a radio spot. You have a drug problem, call such and such. Several other people in this room wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for some kind of public information. And perhaps this whole public relations issue and issues, this whole public information thing, that may be the next big thrust of our fellowship. That may be what we really start getting involved in the next few years. You know, I feel that way.
Thank you very much.
That this is an area that we've lagged behind in. You know, we've been working on this, we've been working on that, we've got a book, we've got this, we got that. But we haven't done a whole lot public information-wise. You know, let's look at attraction rather than promotion. What can we do and what can't we do? Jim talked about what we can do is we can let people know we're around and that NA works. What we can't do is we basically can't make any promises. You know, personal anonymity, you know, I want to come back to too. You know, because one of my first early, I remember seeing this newspaper article about this guy. So-and-so, addict saver. He's dead. Of the disease of addiction. They didn't print any subsequent articles. But they could have. When he relapsed and died 2 months after that, 3 months after the article was published. We just have had some massive anonymity breaks within the fellowship. In fact, one example, I got a call on the hotline in Georgia last week asking to have the phone number and address of one of the people who participated and broke their anonymity in that film that was aired and will be aired all over the country again and again and again about cocaine. You know, and I had to say, I'm sorry. I can't divulge the last name of this person or how to contact them. That would be not in keeping with our principles. CBS in New York City. It would have been great shot for NA, wouldn't it? Maybe. But you see, it would violate personal anonymity. Violate the anonymity of that NA member. You know, these things come up real regular. They come up a whole lot. Okay, we had several hands. Yes.
I'm Kathy. I'm an addict. It says our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And I find it real hard to differentiate between attraction and promotion. You know, it's like the newest attraction in town is the circus. You know, and they put a commercial on TV for the circus and they promote it. You know, they promote their attraction. And I don't know if this, you know, comes in key with the press, radio, and films. But, you know, in turn, we go to a hospital and we promote an attraction. You know, we promote to those people that are in the institution that we have meetings that are outside and, you know, we are attracting them. But in a sense, we're promoting it. And I, you know, it's real hard for me to, you know, find the difference between that. I don't, you know, the time I break my anonymity is like when I go to the doctor's office, you know, and I tell the doctor I'm an addict, you know, and I do it in a closed meeting. But I haven't been on television and said, hi, I'm Kathy and I'm an addict, you know. I found this fellowship through people coming to a hospital and promoting something that was an attraction, which was an NA meeting. And I don't know, I just find it real hard to differentiate between that. It's a very confusing point for me, and I'd like some feedback on it from anybody.
Can I share that?
I'll give you a couple of quick examples on promotion. My home group in its infinite wisdom recently decided that we were going to print t-shirts without any logo on them, of course, and give them to the members of our group. And if you became a member of our group, you got a t-shirt. Thank God we snapped what we were doing and only gave previously existing members who were paid for them t-shirts and refused to print any more. I mean, if you come to us, we will do something. We will give you something. We promise that you can get a better job. Your sex life will improve. Your hair will stop falling out. If you come around our groups, you know, and you clean up, you know, we can get you a job in treatment. Within 3 years, you'll be making $30,000 a year. You know, we can't make promises. You know, we can say, I'm an addict. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and my life is better. Maybe it'll work for you. Maybe it won't. We certainly can say, hey, we're here if you want us. You know, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it. I mean, it's... One funny thing, a lot of people go round and round and spend hours and hours and hours trying to think up catchy stuff to put in public service announcements and newspapers and stuff like that. This is our best public information source, in my opinion, going. Our white booklet. Radio spot. Is your whole life and thinking centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more? You know, if so, perhaps you could benefit from attending a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. An addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We're people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death. Are you headed to jail? Are you tired of going institutions? You know, has your using become a threat to your life? Like it was to ours. Maybe we can help. I mean, who, what, and how are all the public information statements most of us will ever need. You want a 30-second spot? Get a stopwatch and time how long it takes to read the first paragraph of what is the Narcotics Anonymous program. And it's already approved.
Well, you're on your way up here. I'm Jim Addict, and my business is promotion, and how I do it is very low key and very high class.
He takes pictures of cows.
That's true.
High class cows.
Very high class cows. Worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. But at any rate. You know, the difference is really simple. The difference is really simple. I found NA in an institution too, and they said, you know, we're addicts, we've recovered. You know, here's how we did it. If you want to go to meetings, here's where they are. That's attraction. You know, if they had said, we're addicts, we've recovered, you know, if you come to these meetings, you will too, and gave me a meeting list, that's promotion. And that's a simple difference.